Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Today we're going to talk about needs. Yesterday we talked about wants. Today we're going to talk about needs. And we're going to kind of structure our needs talk based upon something we mentioned yesterday, which was Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Abraham Maslow. Yeah. Maslow. Mm-hmm.
Pretty smart guy.
Mm. Yes.
And you know, one of the things, I think I'm going to say first, this is a little off script. If I'm fascinated by these guys from, you know, years past that came up with these kinds of theories and these kinds of ideas that still seem to hold true despite the advances that we've made and the way that our society and everything has changed. It's amazing to me.
I was going to say that you and I teach a variety of courses. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We teach in counselor education, right. School psychology, education. Mm-hmm. No matter what we teach, we always teach Maslow.
Right.
And whenever you mention Maslow, right. The students in the class will say, yep, we've heard of Maslow.
Yeah.
It's one of those, it's almost a universal.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But yeah, it's always impressive when you think of this is the first person who sat down and thought about this.
Yeah.
I was reading about Einstein yesterday.
Uh-huh.
That's what he did.
Yeah.
And he just sort of formulated this in his head.
Yeah.
And so this is, you know, talk about standing on the shoulders of giants. Maslow is one of those giants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Maslow's hierarchy of needs says that we have five levels of needs.
Levels,
and if
right.
you think about it as a triangle, and maybe we'll include a picture of it in mm-hmm. the show notes, but when you think about this triangle, it has five layers.
Right.
And as you move up, we become more and more... There are needs that...
It's a hierarchy.
It's a hierarchy. So the basic needs have to be met first.
That's
and
right.
Then you work up from there.
Right. That's right. The reason it's a triangle sits on the base.
Right.
The base of the triangle are the survival needs.
Right.
And then it gets gradually smaller
right.
as you rise up through the different layers.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the base layer is physiological.
Right.
So we're talking about survival things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's food and water and things like that. That, mm-hmm. that things that we have to have for our body to survive.
Years ago, we had a neonatal follow-up clinic, and there
mm-hmm.
was one mother in particular. She had about seven young children, and we were always frustrated because she wouldn't do the child development exercises,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and she wouldn't show up to clinic. And so finally, we had one of the social workers go to her
mm-hmm.
apartment. And she had seven young children, under mm-hmm. probably from one to seven or eight. She had no refrigerator and no
right.
washer and dryer. And we were worried about her doing child development,
right.
you know, infant and child development exercises.
Right.
Well, this woman was struggling every day to go to a grocery store to buy enough food to last for that day.
Right.
Because she had no place to store food.
Right.
Once we were able to meet her basic survival needs,
mm-hmm.
then she started to engage in the...
Right.
stimulation activities.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, they must be met first.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So the base is physiological survival things. The next layer up is safety.
Right.
And so this is
mm-hmm.
where you're talking about shelter, clothing, those kinds of things that keep our body and ourselves safe.
Right.
So we're talking about shelter from the weather. Again, clothes would fall mm-hmm. under that category. Just because it keeps us protected and
right.
keeps us warm and those kinds
right.
of things.
And we're talking about physical safety and emotional safety.
Correct.
You know, that there are people who don't feel safe in their own home. Or
right.
there are students who don't feel safe in a classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you don't feel safe in a classroom, it's very difficult for you to pay attention
right.
and attend and learn anything. Because you have to satisfy those safety needs first.
Right. Now, the third level up is love and belonging.
Right.
All right. So now here we're talking about, you know, that you have to feel accepted. And so this is where we're finally getting into sort of a social domain just a little
right.
bit, where we're talking about relationships and interactions
mm-hmm.
with other people.
Right.
But notice, this is the third level up.
Right. That's
okay.
Right.
So, you know, after our physiological survival,
mm-hmm.
comes our safety. And then finally we're getting to, or not finally, because there's a couple more here, but mm-hmm. now we're finally getting to, I said finally again, we're getting to love and belonging. Love and belonging, so right. we have our social relationships.
And that's a basic need that we have. This mm-hmm. is a needs hierarchy. And so Maslow and William Glasser and others, other experts in these fields, consider love and belonging a need.
Right.
It's not a physiologic need. You can certainly survive if it's not met, but it is considered one of the basic needs. You have to feel like you're connected to other people.
Right. Right.
Either now, family, friends, coworkers, teammates, right. something.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. There's been plenty of research to suggest that, and we've talked about it before with attachment, mm-hmm. that, you know, early in life, if you don't have that love and belonging, right. that attachment, that relationship, you know, infants do not survive
die,
in,
right.
in some of those kinds right. of circumstances.
So it starts in infancy,
right.
But it continues across the lifetime.
Right.
We talk about the elderly.
Yeah.
Once families, you know, if you're alone mm-hmm. and you're elderly, that need for love and belonging can evaporate,
right?
And it makes for a lonely period.
Yep. So now the next level up from that is self-esteem,
right?
Esteem. So is how you feel about yourself, and so again, so we have our survival, our safety, our social relationships, and now we have, in essence, the relationship we have with ourselves.
That's right. I have to feel good about myself.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And this is a basic need, but hopefully what you can see when you have the picture that you'll be looking at, what you'll see is you can survive without it, because
mm-hmm.
you have your basic physiological right. needs met. You have your basic safety needs met. Mm-hmm. And you can survive there.
That's right. That's right.
Now, the next level up, of course, with the social piece and then the esteem piece, those are things that you don't necessarily need to survive,
mm-hmm.
but one can arguably say that you need it to be psychologically healthy.
That's right. That's right. And that's, I think, when you get to the, you take those first two layers,
mm-hmm.
but when you get to the third layer, you mentioned, then you get into these psychosocial needs.
Right.
They're just as important.
Right.
Okay. And so you get to love and belonging, and then the next step is self-esteem, how you feel about yourself. And once again, if that's damaged, if that's not working, then that becomes almost as important as the other needs. And you're going to do what you can to meet that need.
Right.
You're motivated to meet that need.
Right, absolutely. Think about somebody who's depressed, so they have mm-hmm. very low self-esteem.
Right.
Even though they have their physiological needs met,
right.
even though they have a home to live in, they have their safety needs
mm-hmm.
met, even though they have social relationships that tell them that they're important and everything,
mm-hmm.
if that esteem part is poor,
right.
it is very low, then it's going to lead to depression and anxiety
mm-hmm.
and some of those things that
right.
cause lots of other psychological problems.
Right.
Now, the peak, the top of the pyramid mm-hmm. is self-actualization.
Right.
Now, what Maslow predicted, and I think that we all agree, is that very few,
that's right.
very, very few people actually reach that level
right.
Of the needs hierarchy.
That's right. We
I think
strive.
They named a couple of people.
Right. And you would recognize their names.
Right.
You know, Mother
Gandhi.
Teresa and
yeah.
Gandhi and people like that. Very few people. You strive to get there.
Right.
You strive to self-actualize, but most of us never attain self-actualization.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so what self-actualization is that it's a level of understanding yourself and understanding the world in which you live
right.
that sort of is beyond yourself.
That's right.
It's you have fully actualized who you are, your position in the
mm-hmm.
world and your position in society.
Right.
And so a lot of the other expectations, a lot of the other demands, a lot of the other things in life, stressors in life, sort of don't affect you as they would otherwise, because you know your purpose, you know your goal. And again, thinking about Mother Teresa and Gandhi, those are people who, you know, were selfless. You know, they went through those hierarchy needs
right.
of having this self-esteem, but then they got to a place where they became more or less selfless,
right,
and were doing
that's
everything
right
for others.
I think that's probably, it's very difficult when we teach Maslow's mm-hmm needs hierarchy to explain exactly what he meant by self-actualization. But it is because Mother Teresa, for some reason, all those other needs were met.
Right.
The esteem and the love and belonging, those were all met. And then she was able to get to this other level.
Right.
And I'm not even sure that... I mean, she worked in the slums of Calcutta.
Which I think it...
So she was unsafe all the time.
Exactly. And that's what I think is fascinating about self-actualization, because you think about the same thing with Gandhi.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't like their physiological needs were
right
constantly met. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like they always had a place
right
to live with shelter.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But they had reached a level where they were just beyond those other needs.
They were beyond the needs.
Right.
Whatever was, yes, that's right. It was
right
almost that they were, that's right, maybe a good way to put it is they were beyond those needs.
Right.
And somehow they were met, those needs were met. But it almost didn't matter because they had this other mission that they were
right
that they were working on.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's why we say that few people, very few people actually attain
right that's right
that level.
Even people at the top of their profession are still concerned about these others. Very,
mm-hmm,
very few people reach that level where the other four levels don't seem to matter
right
anymore. That
right
they've somehow been superseded.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We don't know, but it is a difficult concept, and very few of us get to. But remember that what Maslow, the other important thing Maslow said to us was that we are constantly striving
mm-hmm
to meet these needs.
Right.
And most of us are busy meeting the first four.
Right. And the last thing I think that we really want to talk about with when it comes to these needs is, when we have, like yesterday we talked about, or in the last podcast, we talked about wants. Now,
mm-hmm,
if it doesn't fit into one of these, really the four categories, the physiological,
yeah,
the safety, mm-hmm, the love and belonging, and the esteem.
Right.
If it doesn't fit into one of those four, it's probably not a need.
Right. That's right. That's how you determine it. You know, we talked about that yesterday.
Right.
If it's not a need, what do we mean by needs? Here are the four needs.
Right. So if it doesn't fit in there, it's probably not a need, it's a want.
Mm-hmm.
But when we think about the expectations that we place on other people, when
right
if you're a teacher, or if you work in a school, or if you're an employer and you,
right
you have employees
that's
that
right
aren't doing meeting your expectations,
right,
one of the things that we have to consider
mm-hmm
is whether or not their needs are being met.
That's right.
And not that it's necessarily our responsibility to meet their needs for them,
mm-hmm,
but if you have a student in school who's not studying, who, you know, she's not doing her homework, she's not doing well on tests, and we think, well, there's something wrong with this girl,
mm-hmm,
there's something wrong
right
with this student. And then, as you said in your example earlier, if you then go to the child's home and you see that, you know, they don't have food, they, you know, there's
right
holes in the roof, or they're homeless, they're living out of their car.
Yeah, homeless, right.
If some of those basic needs
mm-hmm
are not being met,
right,
if she doesn't know when her next meal is coming,
that's right,
why does she care about her spelling test? There's no way that she can focus on her spelling test because the basic needs aren't being met. And so we really have to think about that when we're
that's right
when we're working with people, or especially children, mm-hmm, because if those basic needs aren't being met, they're not going to meet any of our other expectations.
That's right. One of the most important things we can say to teachers, parents, employers, or any individual, when we talk about behavior, when we talk about misbehavior, for example, when I teach it, I always put miss in parentheses.
Right.
And I do that because when I'm teaching my students about how to manage behavior, change behavior, is that children behave to get their needs met.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We all behave to get our needs met.
Right.
And if you're a teacher or a parent or an employer, before you judge a person's behavior, try to think about what need
right
that person is trying to meet.
Right.
And invariably, If you can identify the need they're trying to meet, you're going to be able to come up with an intervention or a policy or some advice that will help them
right
help you understand why they're behaving the way that they do. You know,
right,
why is a person late for work? Well, what need
right
what need is this person trying to get? If a kid is lying to her parents to be with her boyfriend, mm-hmm. what need is she trying? Well, she has a belonging need.
If you have a student who is getting in fights and he's mean to everybody and all that, perhaps he doesn't feel safe. And so he's trying to keep other people away because his basic safety need is not being met. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you're absolutely right. We really should run through this process first before we start assuming that there's some other issues.
What need is this child? What need is this person trying to meet?
Yeah.
And then we can come up with a way of assisting them in this process and coming up with positive ways of meeting that need.
Absolutely. So, all right. Anything else?
No.
No. Nothing else. That's it for today. If you jump onto the show notes, we'll have the a picture of Maslow's hierarchy, so you can kind of use that as a reference and see what that looks like.
Yeah, Maslow's needs hierarchy is a good thing to put in your parent or employer toolkit.
Absolutely.
It's a very useful tool to have in your kit, so we encourage you to keep this one around.
Absolutely. So, all right, that's it for today. Have a great day, and we will be back with another episode next time.
Looking forward to it.
Until then, stay happy, stay healthy, forget to be afraid.